The Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Happy New Year, Troy.
And to you.
How are you going?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You've brought us some great tracks.
I have.
I'm excited to hear them.
Well, yeah, there's no real rhyme or reason about the ones we brought today. There was initially, I thought, I know, I'll do some compilations which suit summertime.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, well, here's one we forgot to do at the end of last year. We didn't have time to do it. I was like, damn it, we have to do this because this is amazing.
Shall I just hit it?
Hit it. Now, recorded in 1967, this was the first album that Miriam McCabe did on the Reprise label.
This has got to be one of the most just joyful songs ever.
Yeah.
That would be my big call for the morning. What a gorgeous woman as well. So this is Pata Pata. It's the mono version.
It is. Now, what Strut have done in re-releasing the Pata Pata album is they've got one of the records is the mono album, one is the stereo album.
Okay.
This is the mono one we're hearing. Seems to have more punch to it.
I like it. It's a song that just should be turned up full volume and enjoyed loudly, I think.
Now, I think she'd done this song, she wrote this song about 10 years prior to this.
Uh-huh.
Here's the English bit.
And everybody starts to move as soon as Pata Pata starts to play.
Yeah, so she'd written this when she, I think she was in a group in Johannesburg. Skylarks is what they were called, mm-hmm. I just remembered. That was a couple of years before she was exiled out of South Africa by the apartheid regime. So she'd been living in the United States from 1959,
mm-hmm.
had recorded some records for RCA, but they were all kind of folky records. When she went to Reprise, Frank Sinatra's label, it's much more of a pop sound.
Yeah.
But also, significantly, a lot of the tunes on this record, she didn't say she was political. She said she just spoke the truth about
ooh,
South Africa. So there's there's a few tracks on here that do speak to the truth of that apartheid regime. Mm. But this here, which comes from a different time for
mm-hmm.
her.
I just love that.
There's a couple of clicks in this song.
Yeah,
isn't there?
I was going to say, I can't remember the name of the language, but she's got that. Yes.
Yeah.
She's got that very famous one, Click Song Number One.
Correct, and that's on this.
Yes.
So at this time, she was married to Hugh Masekela. And the reason I mention that is because it's funny, because on the back it says Miss Miriam McCabe.
Miss Miriam McCabe.
And Hugh was
her third husband.
After she was married to Hugh, she sort of lost popularity in the United States because she married Stokely Carmichael, who was one of the leaders of the Black Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not political. I'm just singing about the truth, and I'm married to a Black Panther, the leader of the Black Panthers. She's awesome. I love Miriam McCabe.
So, Pata Pata, the hit sound of Miriam McCabe. Yes, you've heard that song before. Do you have it in your collection? If not, why not?
Ooh,
this
nice.
Is a question
like
I'm currently asking myself, actually, Troy, so I might see you very shortly for a copy of this.
It is a fantastic one, and Strut have done a really good job. It's the original reel-to-reels. We use the mono master and the stereo master, so it sounds as good as it can sound.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah,
so that was the mono
cool.
version, but there is a stereo one on there too. What's the next thing you've brought us?
The next was one of the compilations I figured was nice for summer, so we'll play...
Give it a go.
Yeah, and I'll show you what this one is. Now, this one doesn't have a very good cover to it, but this tune,
what?
Oh my God.
You don't like the cover?
No.
I quite like it.
It's got yellow text. I love yellow.
Bossa Nova Volume 2. Cool Bossa Nova and Hip Samba Sounds from Rio de Janeiro.
And that's exactly what it is. We're hearing right now the great, the immortal Tumba Trio.
This is beautiful.
This one is from their 1962 debut album. Now, Tumba Trio were awesome in that they were multi-instrumentalists mm-hmm. and they were all singers, so...
Cool.
They're at the the beach in the cover. Oh, you don't like the sun? Is that why?
Yeah, I think so.
I was going to say, I think the cover is gorgeous. It's got like a close-up of two kids wrestling, and then you can see in the background other kids wrestling as well.
It's just the beach. It's got the beach in it.
The beach.
It's the beach.
Okay, well, I'm glad you like it.
There you go.
Anyway, not just about the cover, is it?
No, it's not. Listen to this. Okay, so you had Bebeto on flute here. Bebeto was the bass player. But okay, yeah, go on.
No, I was just going to say, so what is the through line that brings all of these tracks together?
Well, We Want Sound, so we're a French label, put together like a really great CD with 40 bossa nova tunes.
Oh, cool.
They're sort of curated picks. And then the vinyl version came out as two records.
Oh, wicked. Okay.
The through line is basically, it's what you read out on the cover. It's kind of like the pinnacle of the early 60s.
It's cool and it's hip.
It's cool and hip. By cool, it's referring to like cool West Coast jazz.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, you know, what was sort of added to samba music to make what we know as bossa nova.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us who
else
is on here.
That is a nice piece of flute. Who else is on here?
You're a flute fan, aren't you? I remember now.
It's because it's my one instrument.
Yeah.
Elsa Soares, Yael Gilberto, Yael Donato.
Yep.
Esu Trio. I'm sorry about my pronunciation. Celso Murillo and Conjunto Drink.
That one's cool.
That's cool?
Yeah, I should have played that. He was an organ player, but
wicked.
That tune there, he's got a singer with him, and the Drink Band, who he's with,
yep.
they were all of them were resident at a club called Drink in
Very
Rio.
Very cool.
Yeah, go on.
Alice Regina.
Amazing.
Agostino dos Santos.
Another amazing one.
Rubens Bassini Eos 11. I don't know what 11, how to say 11 in the other language.
Portuguese, you mean?
Portuguese, sorry. Lenny Andrade.
Yep.
Johnny Elf. And the Tumba Trio, who we're listening to. Then on side two, you've got Ana Lucia.
Oh, that one's amazing too.
Agua de Bebe.
Yeah.
That's the name of that track. Orlan Devo, Baden Powell. That one's easier to say for me. Alade Costa, Norma Bengal, Cariocas. Oh, I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm really butchering this. Luis Bonfa, Sylvia Tellez, Dorival Kami. Troy's grimacing at my pronunciation here, and Carlos Lyra. So there are some incredible people on there that I have absolutely butchered the pronunciation of. Sorry, everybody.
But you do know a lot of these, right?
Yeah,
like
these
Louise,
names are familiar.
For example,
yeah.
Is, so yeah, this is it's a really cool comp, and I don't know. I don't. A lot of people sort of think of compilations as being something a bit lesser, you know, but when they're well put together,
exactly,
and you listen to them at the right time, they're just exactly what you need.
It's also a very, very good way to introduce yourself to a whole lot of new things in a terrain that you might be only a little bit familiar with. Like, I recognize maybe five names on that, but I would love to hear other things on there too, and
yeah.
You know, broaden my bossa nova horizons.
And hip samba.
And hip samba, of course. Cool bossa nova and hip samba. What is the third thing you've brought us this morning, Troy?
Third thing is I thought last year we started to get a lot of good reissues of undiscovered gospel music.
Very cool.
And right at the end of last year, Tompkins Square put this one out. And what this is entitled Midwest Gospel 1965 to 78. Now, there's no names on this that anyone knows. This is all like, you know, stuff from Chicago or wherever, where it was printed and, you know, recorded in basements, pressed up on like independent hand presses, whatever, 100 might have been done,
cool.
Distributed at the church. yeah, exactly.
So, this is from Frank, who lives around the corner from so-and-so. Is it that kind of a thing?
It's exactly like that. But what we've got here is producer of the compilation, Ramona Stout. Now she's written like a huge essay inside, and the essay isn't so much about all of the people who are on it, but it's about her kind of journey through hope. Let me go back a bit. Around the time of hope starting to really take hold in America for the last time, which was around the time that Barack Obama was elected.
So you're talking about hope as in the concept of hope.
The concept of hope. And Ramona at that time had moved away from the United States and been living in Britain for quite a long time. And she thought, okay, well, her and her husband moved back there and thought, okay, and so what this essay is examining the notion of hope and the way that informs gospel music.
Cool.
She comes to the end of it. You know, she'd gone to get all of these records. Her and her husband had like opened a rare record business, and they'd go to people's houses and buy things. And there's one story which kills me in there about I won't spoil it for anyone. But
there's a very good story in there. That's like a teaser.
There's a number of good stories. But the thing about it is all of these tunes, most of the people who are still alive, when she like sort of posited, you know, it's about hope and everything, you know, they were going, yes, kind of. It's mainly about pain, gospel music. So she like flipped her idea of what she was doing with the compilation. But it's, you know, which is a really cool way of approaching something. You could just go, okay, here's a bunch of religious songs. Some of them sound kind of soul. Some of them sound kind of goofy. But this here, there's some really interesting things. Some of the fidelity is bad, but not on the one we're going to play. This one here... is by a group called the Messiahs of Glory. Now, she found the widow of one of the members who said, well, my husband never talked about that. I don't know when it was recorded. I don't know who the other members were. All I recall about this is that it was actually recorded in a basement. And I never heard my husband sing.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Messiahs of Glory. So this is probably, judging from how it's played, it's most likely... probably about 70 or 71.
Okay.
A private press gospel record of which taken from this No Other Love Midwest Gospel 65 to 78. A really cool compilation with the Reverend Houston Harrington on the front.
He looks like a very happy looking reverend there.
He does.
He's got hope, maybe.
And there's Mac McCullum, another reverend. and there's some other pictures of them inside as well. But
what's the name of this track?
The one we're going to hear is called No Other Love. Hear that basement?
That is a basement, yes. You can hear the drums. Like. Yeah. This is lovely.
Yeah.
It's also, after you said all that about the way she went about finding these, I think that's a really interesting reason to put a compilation together, as you were saying, not just to be like, oh, here's a bunch of tracks from private presses, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's to be searching for a story or a through line like that is a really fascinating way of putting together a body of work.
Yeah. I mean, even if you didn't read the essay that came with it and just listened to it, you'd hear a thread.
Yeah. Bless your teeth. My mother got a sweet love for me. I also like a nice fuzz in a record like this, especially a home press, because it does feel very much like somebody poured their own love into it.
Yeah.
You know? That female vocalist is great.
I think there's two female vocalists, one male and then the lead singer, I think. But I don't know too much about religion in that... is it kosher to call yourself the Messiahs of Glory? I thought there was only supposed to be one, but okay. Okay, run through some of the other people.
All right, who else we got on here? Brother Randy Wilson, the Travellers of Zion, Messiahs of Glory, who we're listening to, Reverend H.H. Harrington, Gospel Carolets, I almost said carrots then, Wandering Gales, the Wandering Gales, what a name.
Yeah.
Joanne and Sonny, the Georgia Brooks Singers, the Harmony Five, Reverend John Thomas, and the New Christian Fellowship Church Choirs.
That's pretty good.
That sounds very, like, grand. There's another Reverend H.H. Harrington track on here. Reverend Mac McCollum with combined choirs, another Joanne and Sonny, and Sister Mary Lucas and the Harambe Singers of Sacred Heart School. That sounds very cool. As you're saying, not a single name on there that I recognise, but no, that's not the point.
No, the other thing to remember is, like, you think, oh, these were church groups, and you immediately in your mind you picture a church, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these were like storefront churches.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, small congregations and, like, literally storefront sort of churches.
Mm-hmm.
But Joanne and Sonny, they are really great.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think Sonny, from what this woman, the compiler Ramona Stout, found out, Sonny might have been in a group with, now I've forgotten.
Someone prolific?
Oh, yeah, no, somebody like Sam Cooke or something.
Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Remind us of the names of the three records, Troy.
Right, No Other Love, Midwest Gospel 65-78. It's a really cool compilation on the Tompkins Square label.
Very cool.
The We Want Sounds Bossa Nova Volume 2 comp we heard. Cool Bossa Nova and Hip Samba Sounds from Rio.
Very cool.
And we started off with the immortal Miriam Makeba, Pata Pata, the album from 67 in the Strut Records release, which is the full mono LP and the full stereo LP.
I think you'll see me in the shop shortly to purchase one of those. Thank just you very
one.
Much. Just the one. I've only got the one set of headphones to listen to it on. Thank you very much, Troy. We'll see you next week.
You will. Thanks.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.